Go with me, if you would, back to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. I would like for us to look at one verse in this psalm. And before we read this, I want to very humbly and very fearfully say that I believe this is the desire of my heart. And I pray that this is the desire of my heart. I sincerely pray that the Lord has made this to be the desire of my heart. And I pray the same thing for you. Verse 4, Psalm 27, verse 4, it says, one. The word thing is in italics. It was added by the translators to make this more readable. But it was originally written to say, one have I desired. One have I desired of the Lord. Who is it? Who do I desire? Who do you desire? Who have we been allowed? And I want to emphasize that word. Who have we been allowed? Made to, yes. But who have we been allowed to desire? Who have we been allowed to desire of the Lord? Verse 1 says it's the Lord. Who do we desire of the Lord? The Lord Himself. The one who is our life, verse 1 says. The one who is our salvation, verse 1 says. Not just showed us the way to salvation, but is our salvation. The one who is our strength, verse 1 says. The one who is our safety. The one who is our life. Not just a big part of it. Is it? One have all of God's people desired. It is their King. It is their Savior. It is their Redeemer. It is their friend. It's their Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Psalm 73. Psalm 73, verse 25 says, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Truly. A child of God can say that truly. Truly. Concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, because of our sinful flesh, we second guess ourselves. And we think, now, wait a minute. I feel like I desire everything but Him. I feel like this sinful flesh right here desires everything in this world beside Him. And that's so, isn't it? That's so, isn't it? This flesh is just so prone to wander. Lord, we feel it. It just takes the smallest thing to take our desire, our heart, and run away with it. For the old man of the flesh, that is true. Lord, I feel like I just desire everything but you. For the old man of the flesh, that is true. But the good news is, for a child of God, the old man of the flesh does not reign over the new man of the Spirit that has been created by God in Christ Jesus. He does not. And when you get right down to it, assess your own self on this. Who or what would you take in exchange for the Lord Jesus Christ? If Christ was here, if Christ was put before you, what on this earth could you hold up next to Christ and say, yeah, I'll take that over Christ? Nothing. Not for a child of God. If we can honestly say nothing, nothing, nothing but Him. If we can honestly say that, that is Him in us saying that for us. Hold your place right here and turn with me over to Galatians 4. Galatians 4, verse 4 says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, paid with the price of blood. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Isn't that so comforting? And isn't that so relieving? Verse 7 says, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if you're a son, then you're an heir of God through Christ. That responsibility is not laid on us. God sent the Spirit of His own Son into the hearts of all of His people, crying for them, I'll take Christ. Give me Christ. Father, one thing have I desired. He does that for us. Oh, how thankful we are. If we truly can see that and see that He's given us a desire to say, I can't have anything but Christ, then that's His work in us. That's the hand of God and His work causing us to will and do His good pleasure. Look back with me at Psalm 73. Verse 26 says, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. That's what David said in Psalm 27. The Lord's my light. The Lord's my salvation. The Lord's my strength. The Lord is everything for me. Everything that I have before God, everything that I need before God. He said right here, my flesh and my heart fail me. I cannot rely on my flesh and I can't rely on my heart. One thing have I desired and I don't rely on my heart. It fails me. But God is the strength of my heart. Up in verse 24, he said, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. You will guide me through this life. Where will He guide us to? Christ, Him. You'll guide me, and then afterward you'll receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there's none upon earth that I desire beside Thee. because God, in love and in kindness, has caused us to say it. We say, one, have I desired of the Lord? We do say it. Look with me at John chapter 6. John 6. Last Wednesday night, we looked at verses 37 to 40 here, which say, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. He said, I'm going to do that. Right before he said that, he said in verse 32, if you look with me at verse 32, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now look down at verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 48, he said, I am that bread of life. Verse 51, he said, I am the living bread. It's me. It's me alone. All right, now look at verse 60. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Verse 67 says, then said Jesus unto the 12. All right, we see what happened here. He told them, I must do this. I must draw. I will give life. I'm the bread. It's me. From that time, his disciples went away and he turned and looked at the 12. And I don't believe for one minute this was a passing, flippant question. I believe he looked them right in the eye and posed this question to them in a way that said, you search your soul for your true answer. The end of verse 67, he said, will you also go away? Will you also go away? Verse 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That means we believe that you are God Almighty, manifest in the flesh. The Lord said to him another time, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. My Father did. We believe you're the sovereign God who has come down to save us from our sin. And because of that, Lord, there's nowhere else we can go. And how we thank God for that. Think about this. Just take a minute and think about this. Where else could we possibly go for mercy? The kind of mercy that we need, being the kind of sinners that we are. Where else could we go? You know how we say mercy is so rich, but God, who's rich in mercy, and it's so free, and it's so abundant. Where else? There's only one source. Where else could we go for mercy? There's nowhere else to go. Lord, there's nowhere else to go. Where else could we go for blood forgiveness? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Where else could we go for righteousness? That's perfection of deeds without. Where else could we go for sanctification? That's a perfection within. That's a holy perfection within. Where else could we go for redemption? Where else could we go for acceptance with God? Where else can we go? Can we go to the law? Well, there's always the law. No, there's not. Lord, there's nowhere else to go. Where else can we go for peace? Do you need peace? Where else can we go for comfort? Really? In this world, they cry peace and peace. There's not any. Comfort, there's not any. Where else can we go for assurance? Lord, you're the only one. You're the only one. One have we desired. One have we desired. And all of God's people can say that. One have we desired. Because of that, there is one thing that we desire. Because there is one that we have desired, there is one thing that we desire. Go back with me to Psalm 27. Psalm 27 verse 4 says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." It is a very interesting thing. It is honestly a very interesting thing. But God's people seek out what they already have. God's people spend their lives on this earth seeking out what they already have. The only way that sinners can seek the Lord and the things of the Lord is, the only way they can do that is if the Lord has already found them and caused them to seek Him, drawn them to seek Him. They have to already be found of the Lord, and they have to already possess what they seek. No man or woman can come to Christ unless the Father draws him or her. He does the finding. He does the drawing. But when a sinner is found and drawn, every time that sinner starts to seek. Every time that sinner will seek what his or her heart has been made to desire. It's the evidence of possessing what we desire, seeking. For a child of God, this is it. Verse 4 says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after." that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. This is what I will seek after, David said. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. All the days of my eternal life. I want to dwell in the Father's house. In John 14, our Lord said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." What is the Father's house? What is the Father's house? Christ is the Father's house. It pleased the Father that all fullness should dwell in Him. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. David is saying right here, and all of God's people say, "I just want to dwell in Christ. One thing have I desired. And I'll spend my life seeking after this. I just want to live in Christ. That's all I desire. That's all I want. That is all that I want." Go with me. I'll be brief, but go to Philippians 3. Philippians 3. Verse 4. Paul said, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." Paul said, "I just want to be found in Him. That's all I want. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may be found in Him. That I may dwell in Him. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord." What would you do there? What would you do there, Paul? What would you do there, David? All the days of your life. If we dwelled in the house of the Lord, what would we do there? Behold His beauty. That's what we would do. Go with me back to Psalm 27. Verse 4 says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord." My margin says, "the delight." The delight of the Lord. The concordance goes on to say, "the delightfulness, the pleasantness, the kindness, the favor, the grace." The grace. When our Lord came here to this earth to be our substitute. Isaiah 53 says, there was no beauty in him that we should desire him. Why is that? Why would he come that way? Why would he come that way? The reason is because he was our substitute. And there is no beauty in us that we or anybody else, especially God, should desire us. But Isaiah 61 says he came to give us beauty in exchange for ashes. And in order for him to do that, he had to take our ashes in exchange for his beauty. But now that all that's complete, now that that transaction is totally complete and all of our ashes have been put away, that's glorious news. All of your ashes have been put away. Now that all that's done, all that's been left in the grave, gone forever, now that our Lord has risen with the dew of youth on his brow, the dew of life on his brow and on ours, now that we are risen with him, with that being settled forever, Psalm 29 verse 2 says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We worship him in all of his glorious beauty now. His holiness is beautiful. What are we going to do in the house of the Lord forever? We're going to look at his holiness. I can't even expound on that. But all I can say is it is beautiful. It is so beautiful. His righteousness is beautiful. It's gorgeous. His redemption is beautiful. He is beautiful. He is altogether lovely. He is altogether lovely. If we are beholding his beauty, it just means we're looking at him. That's all it means. David said, for all of eternity, I just want to look at him. I just want to look at him. Back in Psalm 27, verse 4 says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Inquire means learn of, search out, know more of his temple, his person. In the time of trouble, he hid us in his temple, in the secret of his tabernacle, his person, who he is, what he's done for his people. We just want to know more about it, don't we? His sacrifice that he made in his own body, his own temple to God. Throughout all of eternity, we're going to be crying, more about the Lord Jesus would I know. We're going to know as we have been known, but we will never exhaust the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For all of eternity, we're going to cry, more, more. Tell me more. More about the Lord Jesus would I know. More of his grace to others show. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. Tell me more. More about the Lord Jesus let me learn. More of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about the Lord Jesus in his word, holding continual communion with the Lord. Don't you look forward to being able to hold continual communion with the Lord? Hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful saying. More about the Lord Jesus on his throne, riches in glory, all his own. And he said, everything I have, I give it to you. More of his kingdom's sure increase. I grow to love that more and more. Of the increase of his kingdom, there'll be no end. How great is the kingdom of God? How great is his kingship? How great is his throne? As great as it is, it will increase. For his greatness will increase forever. Of his increase, there'll be no end. More of his kingdom's sure increase. More of this glorious Prince of Peace. I want to know more about him. That's what David said. That's what I want to do for the rest of my life. I want to know more about him. Verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Now, I'll close with this. If that is our desire, if it is, if it's not, then don't bother turning with me. But if that honestly, if we can honestly say, because of him, not because of me, but because of what he's done in me, that's my desire. If we can honestly say that, then turn with me to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 4. This is a promise from our God. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. One thing have I desired. He said, if your desire is the Lord, then you'll have the desires of your heart. If that desire is in you, it's only because he put it in you. It's the only reason. And he's already given you what you desire. So if you desire him, be of good cheer. You have him. If you desire him, you have him. You have his beauty. You have his glory. You have his temple. You have him. You have him. Lord, please make that to be our desire. Please make that to be our desire.